a mission from birth. Ah, I tell you, and we'll find our scripture today in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35, and John chapter 12, verses 23 through 26. Well, I tell you what, let's get started on a lesson. And I told you it's a mission from birth. And indeed, Christ, you know, the one who is wonderful and counselor, you know, Christ, the one who is the look for Messiah. You know, he is the one, Christ, the one that is born of a Virgin Mary. Christ, that's who we are talking about. We are talking about the person of Christ this quarter. At least that's been my focus. And actually, you can never talk about his person without talking about his work. Today, we're going to focus on that person and work. And we're going to look at it through the eyes of a person that we only know as Simeon. And then we will see John's pickup and explanation of that mission. Luke chapter 2. Our authors have entitled the lesson, A Mission from a Birth. I think I'll subtitle today. Haven't done it in a while. And just ask the question, what will you see this Christmas? Or who will you see this Christmas? Out of Luke chapter 2, verses 25, we see a man, a devout man, who has been waiting on something, who has been waiting to see something. He's been waiting to see what all of us must see. And that is the Savior. He's been waiting. He's waiting. So after we look at this particular passage of scripture that the authors have entitled Mission from Birth, the title that the author gives seems to indicate that from the very day of the year of our Lord, from the very day that he was found in a manger, from the very day that the shepherds who watched their sheep by night, as the moon displayed its splendor against the dark, narrow pieces of the heaven. From that very day, Jesus, this baby born in Bethlehem, had a mission. And what we are to see, and what we are to realize, and what we are to assimilate deep in our spirits, Deacon Joe, is that this baby would not remain a baby. This baby was different than any other baby. This baby not only had a purpose, this baby had a mission. And you are encouraged this morning, during this Yuletide season, to see what Simeon saw. Come with us, Minister Nedrick, if you would, and if you can hear me, would you open up Luke 2:25? 2:25 is where we are. That's in our Sunday school lesson today. That's our Sunday school lesson today. And I want you to just think about this and tell me what you see. be able to, at the end of this lesson, at the end of this session, starting with Luke 2:25 through 35, if we see what the character in this lesson saw.
Amen.
And there is a problem. Good
sound
test.
Sound like he has a bad signal.
Minister Nedrick, as a matter of fact, Sister Dorothy, could you just read for me again?
Yes, sir.
Two weeks in a row, but it's all right. It's all right. Good morning, Dorothy Taylor. Good to see you.
And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him.
Read, Sister Dorothy.
And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ.
In other words, a word came to Simeon, this devout man, this man who had been waiting for the comfort of Israel, this man who the Holy Ghost was upon, this same Holy Ghost revealed to him a word, that a promise, that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord Christ. So Simeon was looking to see. Simeon had heard with his ears. He had heard through the words, but he was looking to see, and that he had been promised by the word, by God himself, that he would not leave this earth. He would not go visit Uncle Walter until he saw Jesus the Christ. Sister Dorothy?
And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law.
Oh, it's really interesting. It's really interesting that here Simeon, who has been looking for the Lord, is found this day, Sister Ogletree, in the church, in the temple. So a good start on looking for Jesus, maybe you need to start at the church house. And the next thing, Sister Hollis, is a reminder to all of us churchgoers, is that you ought to be looking for Christ when you go to church. You ought to hear Christ preached when you go to church. And if you see, and if you're listening, and if you see, you will be blessed. Mm. Oh, I'm right here. See, because on the eighth day, that's what the previous text tells us, Minister Nedrick, is that on the next day, the eighth day was a day in which the male child was to be taken to the temple to be circumcised. In other words, this was a religious practice. This was their way, Joseph and Mary, to give their son, dedicate their son, identify their son in the faith, by observing the law of circumcision. And as they entered the temple, the parents, Joseph and Mary, doing what they're supposed to do, something marvelous happened. Sister Dorothy?
Verse 28. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord,
Here's what happened. They bring the child into the temple. They bring the child to church. They bring the child to observe a religious ceremony. And Simeon sees the child. He sees the child. And according to Sister Pillow, he took the child in his arms and blessed God. Oh, y'all don't hear me? Mm. Simeon saw what he had been looking for. And the the least you can do. I'm not talking about the most you can do. I'm talking about the least you can do is to thank God for showing you Jesus.
Amen.
Thank God. In other words, he blessed. That word bless God, you want to know how to bless God? Praise him. You want to know how to bless God? Thank him. That's what Simeon did. He blessed God because God gave him exactly what God promised him. Mm-hmm. He promised him that you would see the Christ Jesus before you left earth. And Simeon says, I'm standing here in church this morning to tell you, I see what God promised that I would see.
Yeah.
I was looking for it, and God showed him to me. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Oh, there's a word here this morning that is so blessed that what are you looking for? And when and do you see what you've been looking for? See, the world is in a terrible mess. We're in a dilemma. We're in a climate that's cold, dark, and calculating. And we need to look. We need to look, and we need to see that there is hope, because God says that if you just look, and if you hear, if you look, if you see, if you believe, and you hear what you and you hear what you believe, and you believe what you hear, you shall see what I promised. And when you see it, what's going to be your response? Every day you see the miracles of this baby that was born in Bethlehem. And you ought to do just like Simeon did. You ought to not wait to go to church. Your church should be in your home. You should bless God. You should thank God. And he said something. He saw and he said. What did he say?
He said, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word.
Lord,
keep going.
You are now letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. When you see the Savior, you can't help but think, Lord, all is well with my soul. The peace with God that you guaranteed through your word has been fulfilled. Every time you see Jesus, every time you cast your cares to Jesus, every time you see Jesus, every time you read the word, you ought to say, Lord, it's all right now. I can go. I can go because my place in eternity has been secured. I can go because I understand where my citizenship lies. I can go now. And when I go in peace. I don't go struggling. I don't go hesitantly. I go in peace. Lord, you showed me Jesus, the Christ. And now I can go in peace. And at first glance, you don't really get it. But when you don't get it, Sister Kendall used to say, keep on reading. So read the next verse, Sister Story.
For my eyes have seen thy salvation.
Hey, that's why I bless God. That's why I can go now in peace. That's why I can die without any reservation, because my eyes have seen
My eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. I saw it coming and now it's here. Mine eyes have seen salvation. Mine eyes have seen salvation. And salvation is not a thing. Salvation is a person. Ooh. In other words, when you see and receive salvation, you see and receive a person. Simeon has said, mine eyes have been casted on the Savior. I see salvation. That's why I can go in peace now. See, because without salvation, you are an enemy of God. But with salvation, you are a child of God. You are a friend of God. You are not at war with God. You have peace in your life. He can go now. It's all right now. I've found the consolation, the comfort. I've seen salvation in the person expressed in this baby. And at the time, Simeon didn't understand that this baby had was God himself. Minister Nedrick will tell you next week that God thought it not robbery, so he wrapped himself in flesh and he came down here, God the creator, looking like his creation in the form of this baby, manifested in this baby. And when he hit time, divinity and time formed, and the God man was there. And Simeon saw it. Jesus the Christ came. Simeon saw it. He recognized him as salvation. And he tells you, I've seen the salvation. And he says, you, God, prepared before the face of the people. You've shown us. You prepared him. Oh, that preparation started long before Simeon saw him. Just didn't pop up one day. This was a revelation. In Christian doctrine, we call it a special revelation. There are general revelations and there are special revelations. And Jesus is a special revelation. Wow. Where Jesus, the God-man, Jesus, this baby that is in the temple to be circumcised as a man, is not just a man. He is not God and man. He is the God-man. And he's salvation to all of those that see him. Salvation is a person. Verse 32 says what?
You want me to do 31?
32.
Okay.
I've done 31.
A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel.
He's the Savior. But he's not just a Savior for the Jews. That's why Paul could later declare, Deacon Richardson, that he was not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to the Jew first, but also to the Greek, to the Gentile. In other words, Simeon sees salvation not only for a nation of Israelites, but he sees it for the entire world. And Simeon tells us, Sister Ogletree, that if you see what he saw and receive what he saw, and can bless God the way he blessed God, you understand salvation is for everybody. Oh, is this mission coming clearer as the authors came in? This baby with a mission was there to reveal, was there to open eyes, was there to present
himself a special revelation to the Jew as well as the Gentile. And this is important in the context of this scripture, Minister Nedrick, because you got to understand, Jesus goes to the temple. Simeon is in the temple. And in the temple, Jews and Gentiles worship, and they worship separately. So this mission was to not only for this baby to be born, not only for this baby to be the very expressed help of salvation, not only is this baby to be a glorification of the Godhead itself, Jesus the Christ came as a unifier. That was his mission. Money, do you get it? Do you see it? Do you see now what I see? Do you see now what Simeon saw? Simeon sees a baby, not just merely as a baby, but as the Savior of the world. Then verse 33 and 34, Sister Pillow.
And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against.
What? What? See, didn't you hear Mary and Joseph? Didn't you hear Mary and Joseph? Notice verse 33, if you would. This for all of y'all who don't believe in the virgin birth. Listen to verse 33. And Joseph and his mother. Normally, if you're not going to say one name, you're not going to say the other. Y'all don't hear me. But see, Simeon had it right, because Simeon could see who this Jesus was. Simeon knew that this Jesus was of the Holy Ghost, because he didn't say his father and mother. He said Joseph and his mother. Oh, y'all better bless today. And notice that Simeon blessed God. In other words, he praised God. But then Simeon bless these two. But it ain't the same word. Oh, in other words, here, this blessing is a warning, if you would. Simeon saw the role that Joseph and Mary had played in the birthing of this child. But he also points out to Mary that this child that she gave birth to, that she carried in her womb, that this child was so special, that this child that she brought forth life is going to die. Because that's his mission. Jesus didn't come just to live. He came to live, die, and be resurrected. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Simeon saw. And that's what happens when you stay in the Word of God. It will let you see and receive the salvation of God. But let me remind you, there are plenty of folk who stay in the Word, but they don't live the Word. There are many folk that read the Word, but it does not lead them to see the living Word. Mm. Oh, somebody better help me. I know what I'm talking about. You're better off to leave it alone if you don't see it and receive it. Simeon saw it received it, and then shared what he saw with the very people who had to care for it, the very people who would suffer, primarily Mary. Mary, you enjoying this baby now. Mary, you circumcised this boy today, but Mary, this boy is going to suffer, and so are you. Mm. You're going to suffer the indignation of people talking behind your back. You're going to suffer seeing him grow up and being challenged because he's so special, because he will confound the minds of men, learned men. You're going to suffer because one day this baby that's born in a manger will hang up on a cross. Mm. And just in verse 35, it says, just as he will be pierced, your soul, your heart is going to break. Not just because you're a mother, mm-hmm. but because that this baby who was born in the world as salvation will die in this world to secure our salvation. Mm.
Thank you, Lord.
This baby that's so pure, that's so righteous, expressed from heaven, will take on the sins of you and I. Die for our sins.
Yes.
And then have the power and authority to get up.
Mm.
That's what Simeon saw. And anybody, any true believer, anybody who is seeking salvation has got to see this. He's got to see the person of Christ. That person is salvation. You got to see the work of Christ.
Yes.
That work is crucifixion and resurrection.
Mm.
Oh, do you see what Simeon saw?
Mm.
Have you seen what Simeon saw? Do you need to see what Simeon saw? Come here, John. Come here, John. Minister Nedrick, has your internet improved? Let me hear you, John.
Hold on a sec.
It has not. Matter of fact, work on it hard for next week.
Yes.
Otherwise, Steve Harmon's got to step in. All right. Sister Randall, Sister Cora Randall, would you unmute and give me John chapter 12? John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Oh, we're going to do it.
Yes,
y'all,
sir.
Y'all got the person of Christ down. Y'all got it. Y'all say, okay, yeah, Brother Sneed, I believe there is a Jesus. But see, just believing there is a Jesus, that's historical knowledge. History will back you up on that.
Deacon Sneed, I'm ready.
All right. Sister Carl, would you defer? Y'all need to hear Minister Nedrick's voice so you'll recognize it next week. All right, you ready? Verse 23 and 24.
Yes, sir. Verse 23 says, and Jesus answered them saying,
what'd he say?
The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified.
Verse 24.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, but if it die, bringeth forth much.
All right. Do you see what Simeon saw? But do you see what John saw? Because John writes. John is writing in real time, Sister Ogletree. John, you know John, that beloved disciple. Oh, you know John, the one that says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's that
right.
John that says the hour had come.
Mm-hmm.
We had moved from the cradle to the shadow of the cross.
Yes.
Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. See, Simeon already told you it was going to happen, but Simeon is standing closer to the cradle. But now, some 33 and a half years later, John stands and writes, says, the same hour that Simeon saw has come. Jesus' salvation shall be nailed to a cross. Because it says that the Son of Man shall be glorified. Wait a minute. Cross? Isn't that the emblem of suffering and shame? The cross? Isn't that word murderous or hunger? Isn't that word the worst in society? Die? Isn't anyone who is hung on a cross cursed? And you're talking about the hour has come? Oh, you gotta see it. Because see, just seeing the baby in a cradle won't get you into heaven.
That's right.
You gotta see him on a cross. Just because you see the baby in the cradle and you receive the baby in the cradle, you've got to see the cross. Because his person and his work are inextricably the same. They can't be taken apart. When you see him, you see his work. When you see his work, you see him. And John says, the hour has come. And John says, very verily, quoting Jesus. In other words, when Jesus says something is important, it's very important. He says, verily, verily, truly, truly. In other words, Jesus said, wait a minute. And except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. You got to get that. Oh, y'all saying, he didn't complete the scripture. I know I didn't. I need that to sink in. Because see, just as that baby was born, that baby now needs to die. And Jesus is trying to, he's talking to an audience here, and he's talking to a mixed audience, Sister Ogletree. You know, he ain't talking to just the Jews. You know, in this particular setting, if you go back a couple of verses, you get the context. You see that, you know, Philip and some Gentiles, Jesus was in the temple. But you remember when they worship in the temple, the Gentiles worship in a separate area. So Jesus leaves the temple, goes to where the Gentiles, these Greek speaking out there with Philip, you know, he was like Jean-Paul Louis, you know, he spoke that French, that Greek, he spoke all, you know, he could communicate with this folk because he's born in Aaron. He knows them, and he knows that because Simeon saw Jesus as a revelation, as a light to both the Jew and the Gentile, he now introduces these Greek worshiping Gentiles to Jesus, and Jesus starts off by saying, my hour has come. You've heard of my name. You come in the temple and worship, but you got to understand, when you're worshiping in that temple, the reason you're worshiping is because my hour has come, because of my work. You go to church, you'll be in resurrection this morning, Zoom or physically there, not just because he's Jesus, but because he's his work. Because of his work, because what he did for you to secure your salvation, to ensure eternal life. Because Jesus says that unless something dies, it cannot bear fruit. If you don't die to that old self, if you don't put that old self away,
man,
you cannot have eternal life. That's all Jesus is saying here. Brother Nedrick, take us on home. Read the rest of the verses. I'm going to exegete them, and then I'm going to get out of here. Praise the Lord. Sir. Praise the Lord. Y'all got this? Do you see what Simeon saw? Do you see what John saw? Oh, wait a minute. Do you even see? You know, that sister Hollis at our house, she's, you know, she's saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you see what she saw? Because she saw the baby born, and she was sad because a baby had to come into a world because we didn't know how to act right. But when she saw the cross, she saw that that baby coming was a joyous moment because it meant that salvation is on the way. Yes. But when he's nailed to the cross, when the hour has come, he secured that salvation. It meant that I can die in the physical and never have to die again. Tell me, am I right, Brother Ned? Verses 25 and 26. It'll take you on it. It'll take you from family church school to worship. Verse 25 and 26. Because you'll see. And when you get to church this morning, see if you don't see it. If you don't hear the gospel preached, you won't hear it. You wouldn't have heard it. And it don't ever. And y'all stop. Pastor Brown, in the physical, those ones that are there physically, if he doesn't preach the gospel today, you tell him, hold on, Brad, just give us one line of the gospel. Because we want to see what Simeon saw. We want to experience what John experienced. We want to hear what John heard. We want to hear what Simeon heard. Read, Brother Nedrick.
In verse 25, he loved it and believed it. And his world shall keep it the life eternal.
And
let him follow me where I am. My service, my father, honor.
Mr. Pillow, if you heard what I heard, your mic is still, your voice is still disrupted, Minister Nedrick. So, Sister Pillow, right quick, 25 and 26.
He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it until the life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also be my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor.
Mm-hmm. If you don't see what Simeon's Saul, mm-hmm. you love this life.
Mm.
You love this life of partying. You love this life of aberration. You love this life that is temporal. You love this life that is what we call psychological. I know it's physical, but this is really psychological. This is about your psyche. This is about what you like. You like this life, so you won't give up this life to have eternal life. And Jesus says, if you love this life, this temporal life, more than anything else, you will never experience eternal life with the Father. You will never see the Father. You'll be looking for him, but paying no attention when he's come, or that he has come, or that he has done what you need to do. All you need to do now is accept his death on the cross. And you reject this temporal life.
Mm-hmm.
But if you accept his death on the cross, you accept, you shall receive, you will have eternal life.
Yes, yes.
With the Father. He says, if any man, if any woman, including one wearing a Santa Claus hat, including one that's set up behind Christmas decorations, including the one who's got on this Jaguar cool t-shirt, including the one who's sitting and with their chest stuck out because they got a brand new, if you love this life more than Jesus, the Christ, the one who died for your sin,
yes,
you shall not have eternal life. And if you serve me, if you follow me, those are the words of Jesus. Those are the ones, words of the one that Simeon saw in the temple at 8 days old and John saw just before he is about to go to the cross.
Yeah.
And now Simeon and John see the same thing. That's why they say Christians are of like mind, because we see the same thing. We know the same thing. And anything, any word, any book, that any word does not lead you to the living word, is a word ain't worth reading. Any life that's lived that does not lead you to the life that is life, that is hope, that is the truth, the light, any word, any life that does not lead you to the living one, the one who was born in Bethlehem, died on Golgotha's hill, and then had the authority and the nerve and the audacity to get up and declare, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. We're talking about the baby in the manger was speaking that. We're talking about the Jesus that was suffering on the cross. He's speaking now triumphantly. I have arrived, and now I'm about to depart. But I'm coming back again. I'm coming back for folk who will serve me, who will follow me. I'm looking for a folk who have heard me. I'm looking for a people that see me for who I am and what I've done.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas and a prosperous new year to all of you. We'll see you once again somewhere, either this side or the other side. But either way, we'll see you.
Yeah.
You see what I see. Have you heard what I've heard? Bless you. We'll see you guys.